You got your Bibles? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We've been in this book, in this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. It's a book that's all about joy. And that's really the theme of the book, is our joy in Christ. Matter of fact, he comes up with this term that says, rejoice in the Lord. It is unique to Paul. Paul's the first one we know of to say these words and put them together. But that joy comes from God and our relationship with him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the big question is this. When it comes to joy, how do we have joy when everything goes wrong? Is it possible to still have joy? Look at Philippians 4 verses 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But first thing I think we all need to realize is that if we have Jesus, then you've got everything you need. Point number one, if you have Jesus, you've got everything you need. Now, what's happening here is Paul is writing this letter to thank them for their gift. And he's a very appreciative and he's very grateful for the gift. But he wants to make a point. He's saying, listen, I'm thankful for the gift, but if you didn't send the gift, I'm still good. I'm still okay. If I never got this gift, I still have Jesus. And I have everything that I need. He's saying, I've learned the secret to contentment. That word contentment in the passage is an interesting word. It means this, self-rule or self-mastery or self-sufficiency. It was a word used mostly by Greek philosophers of their day to say that they could sustain themselves. But Paul uses this word so beautifully. He says, I can have plenty, or I can have little, and it will be fine. And then Paul adds this thought. He says, basically, that because I have Christ, then I'm okay. I don't know anybody who's always up. There's always something in our story where we go through hard times in life, and Paul's saying, because I have Jesus living in me, that I'm content, that I have enough. Because with Jesus, I have enough. He's saying, I get my power through Christ. What the world needs to see are followers of Christ who are genuinely satisfied with Christ. Not a fake smile or pretending that we have no trouble. But when difficult times come, we can look him in the eye and say, yes, keep praying for me. It's not easy. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The next point is this. Giving to God is never an unwise investment. Look at verses 14 through 17. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel that I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Using money to take care of God's people is never an unwise investment. If your friend gives you a gift for your birthday, then you give them a gift back. You expect if you give something that something in turn is going to be given. But there's a situation Paul has now that's current. They've given to him, but he can't give back to them. As we look at this, look at verse 18. What the Philippians did for Paul, God considers it a sacred offering. Just listen to how the Holy Spirit directs Paul to describe this gift again. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus a thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And he's saying, your gift that you gave, when you give to God's people and God's work, it's like a sweet aroma that arises. It's like that smell off the grill that goes right up to God. That God describes it in such a term that God takes it personally. As though you are taking care of me, God, so to speak, God is saying. Like I receive this gift as though it's to me. Like it's a sweet aroma being offered unto God. God is really saying thank you for the gift. So what have we learned today? We saw if we have Jesus, then we have everything we need. We learned that giving to God is never an unwise investment. And there's one more thing. God alone, who supplies all things, deserves all the praise and the glory. So rejoice. So praise Him. Look at verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I give to the kingdom, it's never for my glory. It's not so I can put it on Facebook and go, oh, look at what I did. See how many likes I can get. No, it's not for my glory. It's for His glory. And when somebody sees my need and meets my need, it's not for me. It's for God's glory. So whether it's coming or going, it's always for the glory of God. Therefore, I can rejoice that I have a God that supplies all my need. Therefore, He deserves the praise forever and ever. Amen, he says. Paul closes with this thought, verse 22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are Caesar's household. Now remember again who Caesar is. It's Nero. What? You mean there are people in Nero's household that are saved? Well, we had no record of anyone in Nero's household that was saved. But there were servants that were considered part of Nero's household. There were soldiers that were considered part of Nero's household. All we know is that when Paul was sharing the gospel, and he talks about that, how he rejoiced at the impact he was having on the soldiers that were guarding him, and how the gospel was going out throughout the whole palace guard, that there were many who were coming to know Jesus Christ because of his imprisonment. And he's saying, listen, he says, those people that are coming to know Christ, they send their greeting to you. That's what the gospel is about. People coming to know Christ, no matter where they come from, even if they're in Nero's household, the enemy of all enemies to the believer at that time, they ought to rejoice because a soul has come to know Christ. Verse 23, the last verse. It says, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul ends his letter again by reminding them that God offers us grace. And that's a good thing to know today. Because as we go through this book, and we've been challenged to allow the joy of the Lord to be ours, to rejoice in the Lord, that man, when we don't have that joy, we have God's grace.